If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Do you ever feel like you've ever been watched? Let me rephrase that. Have you ever felt like you were being watched while you were home alone, binge-watching some horror movies in the dark? Me too. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, please consider subscribing, clicking on that bell and smashing that thumbs up and telling your friends. Now let's get spooky. You know that feeling that you get when you're alone, after you've turned off all the lights in the house and you head to bed? When you feel as if you're being watched. When your breathing slows, so that whatever presence your subconscious believes is lurking in the dark can't hear you. When you start to see figures and faces in the shadows, illusions created by your mind to justify the panic you're feeling, to tell you, you shouldn't be here. I'm here to tell you that you are being watched. There is something hiding in the darkness of your home, watching you, listening. I'll tell you my story. I was marathoning horror movies in my living room, my nightmare marathon, as I like to call it. The lights were off, of course. Only the soft glow of the TV screen illuminated the room surrounding me. It was the perfect Saturday night. The only thing missing was my girlfriend. It didn't bother me much. She hated scary movies, and her clinging to me would rip me out of the immersion of whatever I was watching. She would force me to stop any movie at the sight of the smallest bit of gore. That meant no Texas Chainsaw Massacre, no Human Centipede, no Cabin Fever, and none of the Saw series. It was much better without her and her whining. Watching gory horror movies in the dark alone was so much more fun. I live in a nice house in the woods. My neighbor's houses were spread out, and at night you couldn't see anything past the trees. No lights, no sound, all alone. A perfect way to experience the best in horror. I had already watched The Shining, The Sixth Sense, and was almost done with The Grudge from 2004. It was the iconic scene when that croaking thing crawls down the stairs that the main protagonist watches, dragging her boyfriend's limp body to the door. The scene had just cut to the little boy at the stair railing when the power in my house went out. I snapped back into reality. The moon dimly lit my living room through the sliding glass door, and it was the only source of light now. Discontent with the sudden loss of my nightly entertainment, I gazed at the moonlit forest. I was watching the gentle swaying of trees in the distance when that feeling slammed into me. The hairs on the back of my neck rose sharply up and chills raced down my back. I instantly broke out into a cold sweat. It's a feeling that everyone knows. My senses sharpened, and I thought that I could hear a light shuffle in the kitchen behind me. I turned slowly, afraid to alert whatever it was, but it was nothing. It's always nothing, isn't it? We work ourselves up, fearing the unknown, only for it to be nothing. I can't see my neighbor's houses from mine, so there was no way for me to know if the power outage existed beyond home. It's not uncommon. I live in rural Idaho, and the infrastructure out here is always breaking down. I decided to check the circuit breakers for my house. With any luck, I'd just have to flip a couple of switches, and I'd be back watching evil spirits kill whomever unknowingly stepped into their domain. I lived out here long enough to know that you don't go outside at night without a gun, no matter how quick you'll be. There were always bears, mountain lions, and other wildlife lurking in the shadows. I went upstairs, got my shotgun, then I went to the garage. It was tough finding my way through the house blanketed in darkness. I opened the door and the smell of moist air rushed into my nostrils. A storm was coming and the trees pulsed with the wind. I looked up and the moon was covered by a thick layer of clouds now. It was always nice to be outside in the moonlight. Once your eyes were adjusted to the darkness, it was easy to see, and the darkness of the night was always calming, but it would take a while longer to adjust with the moon covered. I headed out to the breaker box, soaking in the cool air and the fresh floral smell a thunderstorm brings with it. It was just the monthly power outage we had to endure, no matter how much money the government gave the power company for infrastructure. I decided to stop for a moment to enjoy the night before the rain would keep me inside. I was looking just beyond my property line in the backyard when something caught my eye. The shadow of a face? It looked eerily like my girlfriend. I thought maybe she was trying to pull a prank on me and scare me while I was watching movies. Maybe she decided to skip out on her plans and came to hang out with me. Maybe she saw that the power was out and knew I'd be sitting there on the couch right where I always was. She had the perfect view of my living room from where she was laying in the grass. I decided that I was going to mess with her and act as if I didn't see her hiding. I walked around the corner towards the back door, pretending to be oblivious to my surroundings. The silhouette tracked me as I moved, yet remained unmoving, like the eyes of a painting as you would walk past. My hair stood on end. Blood rushed through my veins as my heart pounded faster and faster. I turned towards the grass and could still see the face staring. It didn't move against the swaying background of grass. I could feel my breath stop as I raised my flashlight to get a better look. A loud bang behind me stole my attention. It came from the far end of my living room, near the stairs. In a split second, I looked into my home. Whatever I had seen outside was gone. The wind had picked up, and I couldn't tell where I was looking before. I tried to go inside, but the door was locked. I didn't know why I thought it would be unlocked. I called out my girlfriend's name. Ariel, I know you're out here trying to scare me. No response. I stared at the grass for minutes, trying to figure out what I was seeing. I let out a quiet laugh.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why on earth would my girlfriend be hiding in the grass outside my house? It was 11:30 at night. She was afraid of ghosts and movies. And she was out with her friends to celebrate her friend's birthday. There's no way she would come over to my house and build up enough courage to hide in the grass just to scare me. It was probably just a raccoon or some other animal. We always have to justify our fear. It's a reminder that we don't see reality for what it really is. Our brains do their best to interpret the signals our eyes and ears send it. Even still, rational thoughts don't block the uneasy feeling. I hurried back around the house to the front door and quickly closed it behind me as I stepped inside. I had barely sat down on my bed when my smart doorbell sent a notification to my phone. I finally relented and bought one after the countless commercials about them. They were smart technology, the Internet of Things. I don't care how smart they are. They're not smart enough to work when the power's out. I checked my phone as my heart was throbbing. I opened the doorbell app. The video feed was out, but I could hear the audio, a faint whine. I was trying to figure out what was making the sound when I received a call from Ariel. "Hello?" I answered. "Hey Jason, I'm pulling up to your house now. We called the night early. Emma had a little too much to drink." She was as cheery as usual and didn't sound the least bit drunk. I was surprised. I figured she would have been drinking the whole night as well. "Oh great, I'll come down and open the front door. The power went out, so I got cut out of my movie night." "Okay, see you soon," she squealed. It was strange. She said that she was pulling up to my house now, but looking out the window, I didn't see her car anywhere along the driveway. It didn't even sound like she was driving. She usually talks to me on speakerphone, and I always get annoyed by the background noise. Her car is old and makes way too much noise. I heard a knock on the door and thought that she must have been parked on the side of the house. Another notification from my smart doorbell popped up. She knocked again as I rounded the corner at the bottom of the stairs just in front of the door. Gripping the doorknob, I looked through the peephole to see a smiling Ariel, but nothing was there. My heart skipped a beat as I pulled away from the door. In the corner of my eye, I caught a shadow figure past the window in the room next to me. Again, the hairs on my neck stood up and my breathing slowed. Normally, I wouldn't feel so uneasy from a small prank, but I had been on edge all night and Ariel's antics weren't amusing. I picked up my phone and called her.
"Jason,"
she answered, slurring her words. "Ariel, I know you're hiding around the corner. I saw your shadow in the window." I could hear music in the background and the thumping of bass and muffled yells.
"What? I'm with Emma and Sherry. Stop being so annoying."
She was obviously drunk and not outside my home. I could feel my gut tighten and my eyes dilate in that realization. "You just called me and told me that you were done for the night and were pulling up to my house. What are you doing?" There was a long pause before she answered.
"I never called you, Jason. We're still here at the bar. I'm staying the night at Emma's. I have to go. It's too hard to hear you. I'll call you when I get to her house."
I could hear Tony's voice in the background when she hung up. I told her that she wasn't allowed to see him anymore. I never liked the way he would talk to her, and now she was going to cause yet another fight between her and I. When the call ended, I received another doorbell notification. My stomach dropped and I froze. The last of the air in my lungs excavated. The storm was getting closer and the wind became louder. I thought that I could make out a whisper.
"Jason,"
in the gust of the wind. I moved slowly to the door and hesitantly peeked through the eyehole. Nothing. It was darker now. Thick black clouds blotted out the light from the moon and rain began to downpour. Living in the country meant feeling uneasy. It meant seeing and hearing unfamiliar things. It's just how life is when you're all alone in the middle of nature. I was used to the paranoia of this lifestyle, but this felt different. It was getting late, and the storm meant the power would be out for quite a bit longer. I decided it was time to lock up and head to bed. The power would be back on by the time that I woke up. I turned and started to walk to the back door. I was going to check all of the locks like I normally do. As I approached the back door, I noticed that it was unlocked. It should have been locked. I didn't lock it. I looked up, and the grass just beyond my property was the same familiar face. It was darker now. I had to stare to make out the silhouette and the soft shadows across its surface. Electric chills exploded from the back of my neck and raced down my spine. Every signal from my brain told me, "You shouldn't be here."
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I quickly latched the door shut, closing the blinds, sprinting up the stairs, and slamming my bedroom door shut. Sometimes I could hear the light patter of footsteps on the floor below me, and the whistle of the wind that sounded too alive at times. My instincts told me that I had to leave at that moment. I slowly rose from the bed and crept towards the door, stepping lighter than I ever thought possible. As I moved past the woman in through the door, she jolted upright with her head fixated towards me. I rushed down the stairs but slipped on the last step. I heard the woman in my room call out,
"Robert, is that you?"
I tried to get up, but the floor was slick and I could not gain any traction. I looked down and I was lying in a pool of blood. There was a trail that led to the back door. I scrambled to my feet as the front door started to open and I ran towards the only exit, the back door. The moon was no longer hidden by the clouds and I could see the trail of blood leading into the tall grass. I was drawn to it. As I walked closer, I could make out a body. Ariel's body. I started to hyperventilate as I tried to grasp the reality of what I was seeing. There was another body next to hers, a man's. A wave of calmness washed over me. Lightning flashed overhead, and my reality changed in an instant. I remembered everything. It was as if I finally woke up from a foggy dream. Ariel came home around 2 a.m. after celebrating Emma's birthday. She was sobbing outside the front door in a state of drunken stupor. She confessed to cheating on me that night. Well, not exactly. In her lack of sobriety, she became a bit too flirty with Tony. He tried to take her away from Emma and take her to his house, but she rejected him. No matter how many times she said no to him, he only became increasingly agitated. Emma was able to get Ariel away from him when he became aggressive. She called me shortly after and told me that she was coming home early that night. As she broke down in tears, she told me that Tony had followed her in his car, but they swerved off the road before turning down my driveway. I sat her down on the couch and gave her a glass of water while I went to go get my phone to call the police. I was still searching for my phone when Tony started to pound on my back door. I rushed to my gun safe. Glass shattered downstairs. I unlocked my safe. Ariel screamed again. Every one of my senses focused on one goal, to protect her. I took out my shotgun, loaded 3 slugs, and I ran out of the room. My vision narrowed to a pinpoint as I leapt down the stairs, but I was too late. As I landed on the last step of the stairs, there was a loud bang. My ears began to ring and I collapsed to the ground. My vision started to fade as I watched 2 boots walk past. Tony picked up my shotgun and walked out of the back door. It felt as if hours had passed, though I know it couldn't have been more than 30 seconds from the moment that I was shot to the moment that he had left my house. The ringing in my ears subsided and I could hear Ariel again. It was barely a whimper. I gathered every bit of strength left in my body and crawled to my back door. Every movement was agony. Every lunge I made reminded me how close I was to death. She was lying just beyond the edge of my backyard,
in the tall grass that marked where my house meets the wilderness. As I laid there, only a few feet away from her, she let out a final whisper.
Jason.
The world went black. I've relived that night over and over and over in torment, as if I was being punished for not acting sooner. A nightmare so lucid that it would be impossible to discern it from reality if it weren't for the world of the living bleeding into the hell I've been entrapped in. As the anniversary of that night approaches, I become more and more aware of the real world. At least, the world that was once reality for me. Year after year, I begged the new inhabitants of my home to find a way to release me from this cycle. Year after year, I am left alone, trapped in purgatory. Year after year, I gain more control of the real world around me, as if the longer that I sit in purgatory, the more I'm rejected by death. Some are more perceptive than others, and my efforts only drive them away. Others only shiver when I walk by. Some scurry up the stairs after they turn off the lights. No matter how they reacted, they always left. I've become much more capable in the 10 years since her death. I am now able to possess someone's body for a short while, and I'm writing this as a plea to anyone who is listening. When you feel like something is lurking in the darkness, watching you, when you feel the hairs on your neck rise, when electricity races down your back and commands your body to sprint up the stairs, it may just be a plea for help. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the story tonight. Make sure to subscribe if you're new, and tell a friend. And like always, spread me like butter. Yeah. Have a good night, and stay spooky.